I'm Dina Del Bucchia.
And I'm Daniel Zamparelli.
And this is Can't Lit.
Can't Lit. Talk about books and stuff.
Hello. Hi. Hey.
Hi.
Hey. Hey, what's up? Welcome to Can't Lit, a podcast where we talk about books and stuff. What's your name?
I'm Daniel Zamparelli.
I'm Dina Del Bucchia.
We're your hosts for this podcast.
We hope there's more than one installment. And this will be the first of those many installments that we hope to bring into your lives.
We'll be talking about all things Canadian literature, and we'll bring in on some special guests every week involving poets and nonfiction writers and fiction writers.
I thought you were going to say poets and non-poets.
Preferably non-poets. Just kidding, Nikki.
Yeah, and we'll be talking about literature, but other stuff too. Things that you're interested in. Book-related nonsense and book-related...
Sense.
Yeah, quality sense. Stuff. So, do you feel good?
Yeah, speaking of nonsense, we have a special guest.
Hi!
We have poet Nikki Reimer, all the way from Calgary.
Please don't leave us anymore. Just stay here. We're going to steal you back.
I would like someone to pay me, and then I will stay here.
We'll work on that. How are you, Nikki?
I'm well. I flew in this morning, and when we were chatting pre-start of the taping, I was just talking about how nice the air feels in my lungs when I breathe it.
Your lungs look good.
Yeah. Thank you.
As a result of this amazing air,
yeah,
your lungs look good.
It's nice.
Your lungs look good, girl.
So, Dina, Nikki, we're going to start with our first segment, which is What's Happening?
What is happening?
Dina, how was your day?
It was fine. I ate a cream egg, so I feel like that was a pretty great part of my day. And, the downside was that for the second time in the span of a year, I was shushed and told to calm down because I was having too good of a time, and someone did not appreciate that. I don't know.
Were you at a poetry reading?
We need context.
I wasn't even at a poetry reading. I was at work, and this person didn't even actually work there regular. Like, I was at the UBC bookstore. This person works buying back textbooks at the end of term. She has no power over me, and yet I allowed myself to feel degraded and terrible because I was enjoying my life.
Shame.
Yeah, and she did not like my exuberance. I was making up a song about boxes, which everyone else thought was adorable. So it was a bit of a See You Next Tuesday situation, and I did not appreciate it. And then I slammed a bunch of stuff around, but was still making a happy song.
Maybe that lady needed a Cradbury cream egg.
She needed a Cradbury crumb egg. Yeah, she needed something. I did eat my cream egg after that, and it cheered me up. So, Nikki, what's happening?
I don't know that I can compete with that particular cream egg story. As I said, I flew in this morning. I have not been back in Vancouver since moving away from Vancouver approximately 23 months ago today. So it's been a bit emotional.
Yeah.
And we booked a hotel in Expedia because my husband is unemployed and I do have a day job, but you know, we're poets, we're not rich. So the cheapest rates that we could find happened to be a hotel in the neighborhood that we lived in for 8 years. So, checked into the hotel, spent some time wandering the old neighborhood, which smells the same as it did. And a lot of things are the same.
Was it like fried chicken?
Yeah. So Church's Chicken smells like fried chicken, but, Donald's Market was our market.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Everything is where it was. Like I recognize the aisles. I had a little crying session. Outside of the CIBC at Caslow Street. And, it's been a roller coaster of emotions.
Is your husband here?
He's here. He's in town. Yep.
Did he also bring his Daisy Dukes?
His Daisy Dukes. His short shorts.
His short shorts.
No, Seth, no.
What?
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm visualizing him in those. Yeah, that's right. He has very nice legs, and he did not bring any shorts this trip. So Vancouver is being deprived. I am sorry.
Jonathan's beautiful legs. This is unfortunate. Sorry, Vancouver.
Well, you'll have to have us back, is all I'm saying.
We need to have you back for the literary sports day that Daniel and I talk about hosting every year.
Yeah. Mm. Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, shorts are required for the literary sports day.
Yep.
And crying. So.
And crying.
We can bring it all.
Probably in front of a bank.
But between the two of us, we can make that happen for you.
Good.
Yes.
Nikki, that story was great. Also, I like that we opened up with crying on the menu. Because crying will be on the menu of this podcast.
It is
whether it's an anecdote or Can Lit, right?
Yeah. It's Can Lit. There's a lot of crying in Can Lit.
I hope that we can Barbara Walters some people into crying during the podcast.
Yeah.
That's my hope and dream. Yeah. Daniel, what are your hopes and dreams?
they're mostly that. My goal is to finish the review I have due for Lemonhound.
He's going to talk about literature now. You had cream eggs, I had crying, so he's going to bring in literature.
No, because
nice.
I have a
That's
story.
Nice. Okay, yeah.
I have a story about how I didn't finish the review, which is it's a review of John Paul Fiorentino's book, and basically most of the day I just didn't write and thought about what I could review for it, but mostly just thought about how I could never pronounce his name properly, and then kept changing his name throughout the day. So it was like John Paul Flo Rida. I've also got John Paul Fettuccine. And then earlier, Dina came up with John Paul Fior de Latte.
That's nice.
So delicious.
Yes.
Yeah, that's tasty.
So I'm just working on his multiple personalities. Yeah.
I like that food is a part of it.
I think he would appreciate that.
Yeah, he will. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I did not finish that review, and it's due tomorrow. So we'll see what happens.
Excellent.
If you don't see it on Lemon Hound, you know why. Also, we are drinking beer, so that could be detrimental. Or it could
beneficial.
Really help you push through those hard times.
Well, it's his book needs improvement, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's all about kind of like fucking things up.
And, have you read that book?
I have not, no. Yeah, it's on my to-read list for sure.
Just checking. I just like to check in on what everyone's been reading, and then... I think it's important in Can Lit to shame people for not reading stuff.
It really is. Yeah. That's a big part.
There's a lot of shoulding and not enough canting, in my opinion.
Thou shalt and thou shalt not.
Yeah.
Speaking of, that, why I'm reading Thou by Aisha Sasha John.
Is it Aisha or is it pronounced Aisha?
I'm probably saying it wrong. I'm really sorry.
Call her up right now.
I actually was emailing with her earlier today, and I didn't ask her how to pronounce her name. But the book is fantastic. It's kicking me in the guts, in the stomach.
I need to read that.
There's some explicit barfing in the book.
What?
She really... It's great.
I feel won over by just that one, like, plus. That's like a plus one.
For me, she won me over when she was, I believe she did a trailer of her book. I don't think it was a trailer, just holding the book and dancing to Rick Ross.
I've not seen that, but that's amazing.
And it was my favorite thing.
I have seen it, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, and I think she does several videos of her dancing to my favorite jams, and she calls it exalting.
That's
and
great.
So, yeah, so
There's some praising stuff in the book, too, that's really juicy and tasty and meaty. Sorry.
Yeah, I can't wait to. I read some of it just because I think, I believe some of it was in Poetry's Dead's issue where you were in as well. It was the secret free issue for subscribers.
The secret issue. Special secret issue.
If you're not a subscriber, you don't get to know about it.
No secrets for you.
Further about it.
Yeah, don't let people in on this. If they want Poetry's Dead, they can get the humor issue out now, edited by me. Etc.
Correct.
Okay, since we're talking about poetry, let's get down to it.
Mm.
Nikki Reimer.
Dina.
You have a new book.
Yes.
It's out right now.
Yes.
I'm looking at it. It has a beautiful yellow cover.
Thank you.
There's a bear on it.
Orange. It's orange.
It's orange. You're right. It's orange. It's more of a...
I thought it was mustard.
It's, yeah, mustardy. It's got a gradient.
It's a solid mustard. Yeah, it's like a burnt mustard.
Because these are more of, like a burnt... This is a bit of an orange. Anyway, the cover's magnificent. The contents are equally magnificent.
Let's go right ahead and talk about the intro quote.
Let's.
We're going to read that out right now.
Please do, yes.
Yeah, I'm happy. Good plan.
I hated your poem. Your poem was so boring. Inebriated audience member at a poetry reading.
Mm-hmm.
Was that me?
No.
I would never say that about your
work. You've only said gushing and sweet things to me.
It's true, because I like your
well
work.
Well, drunk or
usually drunk.
Sober. Usually drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that I need to be drunk to give you compliments. They just make it feel better.
Hmm.
Yeah.
you don't need confidence from alcohol to give Nikki compliments.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's true.
That should have been the blurb on the back. Of Daniel Zamparelli does not need confidence.
What? From alcohol.
To give
Nikki compliments.
Right.
Just anytime.
Amazing.
Sober compliments. But that is a great... Beautiful. That is a great quote.
Yeah, that
do
actually...
Do you remember when this happened?
That actually... I do.
Let's get the story.
Yeah, so the old Waldorf Hotel, mm-hmm. when it was operating as that neat little arts mm-hmm. hub thing that happened and then crashed and burned, which is a different story, there was the launch of the Simon Fraser University Humanities Contours magazine, I'm guessing?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I read it that. And at the end, this fellow comes up to me... And he's smiling, and he reaches out for my hand, and I take his hand, and he shakes my hand. And he may have said his name at the outset, I don't recall, and then launches into, you know, this warm, friendly countenance. I hated your poem. Your poem was so boring. And I was like, well, I'm sorry you feel that way. I don't, you know, that's, and he really wanted to get into it with me about what the problem was with my boring poetry.
He was about to mansplain to you?
You got a drunk mansplainer!
It was. It was kind of that, yeah. And someone, I think, who was there with him saw what was going on and kind of swooped in and physically pulled him away.
Yeah.
And that's, it was a good moment.
I like that.
It was a good moment. I was briefly shaken, to be honest, by it. But even right away, I was like, that's damn funny, right? Like,
yeah,
that's funny.
It's totally funny.
It's funny.
Obviously, in the moment, it's surprising when someone...
Yeah, it's a bit shocking.
...is friendly and hostile at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, uncomfortable.
It's a different kind of passive aggression.
Yeah.
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 Especially at a poetry reading where, like, you... Like, poetry reading is like, as soon as the reading's over, you just see everyone leave as quickly as possible and not talk to each other.
Yes.
Except for the other poets who...
Yeah.
That's like their
feel
their
the need.
Part.
It's like, well, yeah, it's their favorite, but also, you know, you feel obliged, even if you didn't think what just happened on stage was fantastic. You do feel obliged to...
Do you have tricks to kind of go around not... Like, you're in a poetry reading.
Mm.
And you didn't like their work, but you're within the same group of people, and so you have to be... And they come up to you and they say, oh, you did a great job, like, what a wonderful poem.
Right.
And you didn't like their work, what do you say back?
I'm really looking forward to reading more of your work.
Oh, nice. Nice. I go with the, oh, you read it so well. It was beautiful the way you read that.
That doesn't betray anything. That's,
right?
Yeah.
Dina, do you have any tactics?
I don't really have any tactics. I feel like in general I have a lot of deflection tactics that involve me talking about what people are wearing.
I can do that.
You look great, that kind of stuff. But that goes, I mean, you can do that anytime.
You can.
Until you get hushed.
Yeah, until someone decides that
you're having too much
fun. Exuberance is too much and they're over it.
I can't imagine anyone ever feeling that.
It's the best.
I feel like I've been around it a few times.
Second time. Yeah.
Anytime in a restaurant.
I've definitely, gotten a lot of cut eye in my day.
So, speaking off of that that comment that was made to you, how do you see that as I mean, you made that the intro of your book.
Yeah.
And I kind of understand it in respect to your work. Not that your work is boring, but that it plays into this idea of this downward thinking in your book, which kind of, when I read it, feels like spiraling in a sense. Like shame spiraling, like guilt spiraling.
You know me so well.
Well, it's because I understand it completely. I'm like, oh, this looks familiar. Can you speak about why specifically you chose that as your intro?
I'll start that with an anecdote. The same weekend that I was working on the copy edits for this book, my husband Jonathan and I went to the closing of a bookstore in Calgary called Wordsworth Books. It's a used bookstore. I'd never heard of it. Apparently it had been there for years. My dad said since the 80s, in a really poor location downtown, but they just couldn't make a go of it anymore. Blowout, 70% off, closing sale. And that, of course, got all the press. And so the only reason I heard of it is because there was some radio interviews. So we went down there, and the place is packed. And packed with people as well as packed with books all over the place. And we're looking in the poetry section because that's our interest. And it gave me a really important, humbling moment about I sure as hell do believe in the power of art and poetry. And to me, it's a vital life force. But also, we're putting these products out into the world. And we have to realize that in the end, they're all just dust too, right? And just seeing all this unwanted work, anything that didn't get sold by the end of this closing out sale, possibly could end up in a dumpster. And I guess the point of including that particular quote is I can't find the right word for it, but it's just the ephemeral nature of what it is that we do, I think. And, you know, this is tremendously important work to me, but also it's not important work to me at all at the same time.
God, I love you. That's great. No, I think it's so good when writers especially can talk about it that way because, yeah, it's important to you and you're doing important work and you want to read other people's work and feel engaged. But yeah, at the same time,
I think a lot of us can take this shit so seriously to the point that we have stupid petty fights with each other.
Save it for the segment.
Okay, I will. But I don't know. It's serious, but it's not that serious. It's not that serious.
To me, when it gets to a certain point of seriousness, it kind of loses its humanity.
Yes.
You're like, I want to genuinely like all of you people, but if you're going to cut each other down so negatively and in such personal ways, that is completely avoiding the discussion of the art in the first place, mm-hmm. then what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we might as well just judge each other on the clothes we're wearing because I look better in those, and that's my better choice.
Damn, it's true.
And suddenly we're in eighth grade again, and like,
yeah,
Becky, did you see the size of her butt, you know?
Becky, keep it to yourself. God. Well, coming off of that, I have a question. Criticism. What is the worst part about it? Is it the patriarchy? Go.
Expand on that. Give me a little bit of...
I don't know. I feel like that's my answer. Context. Like, when I think about the idea
of... What kind of criticism?
Well, the kind of criticism that we're sort of veiledly talking about right now. Because I think...
A large part of it now is...
criticism that's considered the respected criticism, and then there's sort of the soft criticism, and then there's Twitter criticism or these other sort of like flashier, both in their sort of, because they're flashes, and then also because you can share them so quickly with so many people.
And, I do get bored of boosterism. Like I appreciate community and I appreciate supporting each other. But sometimes something happens or something comes out and there's this rush to be seen as being part of the supportive tribe. And, awesome, dude, yeah, brah. Like, and it almost is, yeah, brah. Like, it just,
People are wearing uniforms and they're patting each other's butts.
I know.
Yeah.
And it's like, I find that tiresome. And then,
if I want to watch that, I go watch gay porn.
Sure.
Yeah. You don't even have to watch sports.
Yeah.
It's a waste.
I don't know why you would.
It's not enough butts.
Not enough butts. Too much clothing.
Not enough looking butts. For maximum butts. Not minimum butts.
Is that another podcast that we'll be doing?
Maximum butts.
Welcome to maximum butts.
I should be after you leave. Just all dudes.
No,
about
I
maximum
should.
Butts.
Can I please be the first guest?
You are also the first guest. Please.
Looking forward to maximum butts. It is the podcast after hours. Yeah. Maximum butts. Stick around for butts. No, it's not. It's not a real thing. Sorry, I got really carried away. I think kind of what I was trying to get at is just that there's this, I don't know, that criticism is eating us a little bit.
That's a part of it too.
And
I think
that
there's
this sort of paternal figure I feel that still is presiding over it. Also, I just like ragging on the patriarchy. It's important that we do it.
No, and I think that certain figures who have ended up with a lot of power,
mm-hmm.
and as much as there's any power in this poetry world, but there's a lot of folks who really want to be the tone setters and really think that they are the arbiters of what is correct poetry and what is incorrect poetry, and they will lay it all down for you. I don't have time for that.
No, I mean, I want a wide swath overall in my life about, in terms of most things that I experience. Like, why wouldn't I want that in terms of this thing that I care about?
Mm.
That would be so dumb. It would be for losers. I also just want to go back to what Daniel was saying when he was talking about the quote at the beginning and talking down and downverse, because I also feel like that quote comes from this place of commentary that also kind of is a pervasive thing throughout the book, like because you're taking, you know, found texts from a lot of different sources, but then also using hashtags, and so in a way those are all like hashtags are a commentary on what a person is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, anytime now anyone writes, you don't have to write a letter to the editor when there's any kind of news article. You can immediately respond to it however you want. So there definitely is a thread of that in this book. So do you kind of want to comment on commentary and sort of the way you talk about it?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, smarter writers than me have taken up what is happening in our digital age and what it's doing to our thought and how it's changing our communities and our discourse, this sort of instant response thing that we have. But I think it for me came from feeling surrounded by it, feeling like there was an imperative to participate in the commentary, to keep abreast of the commentary, to know at all times what everyone is saying about everything, right? That's part of this thing that we're in, this 24-hour news cycle, feeds all the time, blah blah blah. So yeah, I think that's what started me down the garden path of doing all this reading of commentary and comment streams and picking up mm-hmm. things and finding like a lot of the grossest parts of humanity are when people are allowed to comment on stuff.
Yeah.
And they're allowed to do it anonymously, right?
Yeah.
Like, it can be so gross. And I'm a super sensitive little princess person on the inside and probably the outside. And so my way of dealing with feeling so insulted and threatened and outraged at seeing a lot of ridiculous stuff was just to start pulling it in as material and playing with it and reworking it.
Pull the dicks in, reshape them.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's what you're doing.
Right.
And I think also your work takes on sort of, you're very smart, if you don't mind me saying. But I think you also are able to pull that, like you were talking about earlier, the humanity. Like you do add this very personal element that I think puts people in a position where they can really dive into that material
mm.
a lot of times, whereas other political or social commentary kind of writing or poetry isn't always doing that, where you're kind of combining those elements. And I think it's the shit.
Yeah, there's a sincerity and thoughtfulness to it when, especially when you are using, you're using comments from the comment section, which is like, the rule is don't read the comment section. So it's just like, it's a wonderful play. You could have bombed it, and you did not.
Also, there's an anarchy in that. Just the idea that everyone's like, don't read the comments. It's like, well, we are sensitive, but at the same time, also, you don't know anything if you don't engage with it in some way. So it's
complicated. These people still exist.
Yes.
I am a proponent of, like, know thy enemy.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, what is out there?
Bring in the dicks, reshape them.
She was a 70s, I think a 70s feminist artist. What's her name? Something Plastercaster.
Cynthia Plastercaster.
Thank you. She literally would do molds of...
Yeah, she would do molds of rock star dicks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then she would exhibit them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she was super well known.
Yeah, so I'm like... I'm doing the 21st century version.
You totally are. In poetry form.
Of that.
In poetry form.
Right.
Quickly, let's talk about hashtags. You have an amazing piece... it's one of the longer pieces, not the longest, but you have a lot of actually long pieces, which I enjoy. And there are all these hashtags that clearly you developed those hashtags.
Mm.
You're on your own, which is so great. Some of them are super
absurd.
Those
were handmade hashtags.
These are artisanal handmade.
Handcrafted. Yeah, free
you
range.
Them. They're alive.
Fair
they're
trade.
Made of wood.
Yeah.
They were...
No
organic wool.
No
run the goop
nouns
of poetry.
Were
the goop
harmed
of
in the
hashtags.
Making of these hashtags.
Yeah.
That's
you
right.
did a great job.
I consciously uncoupled my
Why wasn't the map the name of your book?
It didn't exist then.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were a time traveler. So.
I knew.
I just want to know if there is a pile in your home. In your workshop / craft room / pickling station where there are a bunch of rejected hashtags from working on that part of the project.
No. I haven't saved things that I've tossed out.
Oh.
But I that's kind of how my brain works. Like I always have like a meta narrative happening on top of the narrative, and so I'm always commenting on what's going on anyway. So I think that poem was just like my opportunity to insert my dickass hashtag comments on top of the other voices. There's a lot of voices in my head, basically.
Well, they all sound great.
Thank you.
I'd love to know all of them.
Did you ever use any of the hashtags publicly?
Probably and I tend to do that anyway on Twitter. I just
you do.
I like to tag shit with whatever.
Do you do that? You make up hashtags.
Oh,
I think that's
a
thing that writers do. Like I my day job is marketing and communications, and that's very much about the proper use of words and terms,
right.
And only using things in very clear and spare communicative way. And I think that that's kind of the opposite of how writers and poets prefer to use language, right? We want to play with it. We want to break it. We want to tear it apart. We want to put it back together in different ways. And so, lots of writers on Twitter do fun stuff with the hashtag.
Comedians,
why
too.
Not?
Comedians are always making up a joke hashtag.
And I usually use my joke hashtags consistently. That's why I was objecting to the making them up.
That's what I was going to say.
I have
say,
hashtag buy my book.
Yeah.
Where I jokingly tell people to buy my book.
Yeah, that's good.
Variety of intensity. And then I have hashtag woo girl.
Mm-hmm.
For that one time I met that girl who wouldn't stop saying woo next to me. I still use hashtag woo girl. And then there was hashtag come on Rena for my travel agent.
I remember that.
Buying my flight, she was trying to find me the best price, and she just kept repeating to herself, come on, Rena. You can do this. You got this, Rena. And just kept asking me if I was okay. Huh. And then going back and to be like, come on, Rena. You can do this. She got me a great deal, so she did. She could do that.
Rena did it.
Yeah.
Good job,
go
Rena.
Girl. Woo girl.
Woo yeah. girl, woo Rena. Girl. What about butt touching?
Oh, it's oh, don't, yeah. touch,
don't touch my butt.
Hashtag don't touch my butt. Mm. That's for a San Francisco trip. I don't need to explain any further.
I don't think you do.
No.
I only have one hashtag that I want to catch on and it never does.
What's that?
Shart week.
Oh, shart week.
Yeah. Shart week.
Can you walk us through
Are you familiar with Shark Week?
Yes.
Are you familiar with sharts?
Yes.
I just want people to talk a bit more about sharts and a bit more less about sharks.
I think that's
all.
Pretty niche.
You know, I think eventually we're going to get maybe like 20 hardcore users.
You can get there.
If we're lucky.
Yeah.
Me and like the two other people.
I believe in you.
Hashtag.
Keep hashtagging. Right now.
Keep, don't stop. Don't stop hashtagging, guys.
Yeah.
Don't stop it. Well, I feel like we need to move on to our next segment, which is called Who's Fighting Now? Where we talk about can-lit feuds, because can't go a week without 1 to 25 of them. Daniel.
I want to talk about a bit about the weirdness of can-lit feuds for a moment, just because automatically talking about them gets you involved in them. It's like Fight Club, right? Ooh. So it's like if it's like you don't talk about it, it doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So like automatically talking about it means that like someone's going to send you an email.
Did I just get into a feud right now?
Potentially.
I think someone is sending all of us an email as we speak.
Yeah.
And I'm
Marty McFly
yeah,
is and that's, going back
right.
and sending us an email.
Yeah.
He's in his DeLorean, ready to rage text
this
us.
This is what I'm saying, yeah. Yeah, it's
going to
happen.
And it the reason it's weird to see those all of the fights is because it's always it, like when you see it happen in action, it's via Twitter or Facebook or live blogging. And you're so used to just kind of reading, like I'm going to say I'm a noob to can-lit kind of. It's only been a handful of years.
Noob.
And hashtag don't touch my butt. And it's scary to see the people whose writing you love and then seeing their personas like online and how they interact. Mm. Because sometimes they don't match up.
Sometimes it's shart week.
It's not going to happen.
I think that was the most appropriate use of
the
term.
I'm the Gretchen Wieners
actually.
Of hashtags right now.
You That's are. Fair. Yep.
Shart week's not going to happen.
No.
Okay.
And so, that being said, I also absolutely can't stop getting enough of the can-lit fights because, like, it feels like I'm not in the loop if I've missed out on something. Mm. I don't like to get myself involved in them, but I want to read them just to see, like, because it is interesting that people are passionate enough to care about something to fight over it, and to such an extreme extent where people feel, like, just at unnerved and angry. So that is my...
That's your preamble.
That's my preamble. Yeah. So that people don't send me angry emails.
That's your Wikipedia entry yeah. for can-lit feuds.
Right.
Reverend Daniel wants y'all to know that he's here for you and your feelings.
Yeah. And don't fucking email me.
That's right.
Because I almost got into one time, but we'll talk about it another time.
Save it for the sake.
So, I didn't think there was going to be one coming within the week, but then that Aisha Sasha John book came out, Thou, and there's a lot of people supporting it. I think it's a great, from what I've read of it, it's a great book. I think she's awesome. And then it was reviewed by Michael Lista yesterday or the day before.
On the weekend, sorry.
And it was a bit of a mishandled... I have nothing against Michael Lista. It was a bit of a mishandled review. And I was wondering what would be the response from it. Because Aisha Sasha John... the reason I like her is because she kind of scares me. Mm. And so because she's got like a strong personality. And that's... I love it. And I was just... really waiting for the response back. Because I have her on Facebook and I follow her on Tumblr and everything. And so there was no response back yet.
Okay. So yeah, I confess I haven't read the source text. I did hear about the review, but I have not read the review.
Right. But then I did see that Michael Nardone had responded back on Twitter to Michael Ista. And I think there was a fight, but the thing is that Michael Ista, I think, deleted all of his tweets that he had with.
Okay.
Which I don't think is a fair response because.
That's a whole other thing.
Because you're committing to a review, right? So you should commit to your opinion. And to me, if you have responses back with somebody who's very. Like, you're obviously writing a harsh review of it, of a book that's well loved, and that, and that's also of a style that's out of your element. That's why I'm saying mishandled review. And you also have to watch out because it's like, you know, with the, like, you, we've already had all these fights before about race, sex, gender, like all of these things. And you have a white male reviewing a black female and you're like, you be gentle. You be thoughtful.
Be aware of the context, the historical context that you're approaching that in. You don't have to be. If there are problems with the work, you know, yes, but...
Write about the work is what you're saying.
Yeah.
What ended up coming out the same day was an old video of Aisha Sashajan dancing to... It wasn't Rick Ross this time. It was another rapper. And I was like, oh man, I hope this is her response. Just her dancing with a song where she is, in her dance mood, she's physically crushing something. And I was like, I hope this is what the response was. But that was actually, I think, a day before the review came out. So I hope, my hope for this Camlet fight is that she has a nice and thoughtful response.
So I was having an interesting conversation with some folks a couple days ago about the whole issue of reviews and the Canadian Women in Literary Arts organization, their approach to counting, and some folks I was talking to, good Lord, I think they were saying, oh, how much does this really matter in the grand scheme of things, blah, 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 but this conversation that we're having illustrates how and why and where and when it does matter when something gets reviewed in a high-profile place by a high-profile person and it's not a fair assessment of the book and it happens to be a white male of a certain age reviewing a younger black female poet. That's when we need some thoughtful, well-written, critical discourse
and just more opportunities for that to exist.
Yeah. So who else is going to write about this book, and where, and where can we read other responses to that book?
Right. And then not rage texting each other about it.
Yeah. Unless
Rick Ross is in it. If there's some Rick Ross in it, I'm going to be so happy.
I do, in that nasty dark part of my heart. I love that I do get a thrill. It's like porn. It's like hate watching Dr. Phil.
I was just gonna say that.
This is our like celebrity gossip.
Yeah, and so yeah, I do. I get a thrill of that shit. But at the end of the day, I also want there to be some thoughtful responses to work that someone has put thought into.
Also, I feel like it's a...
And respect.
Sometimes I want to see the other side of it, where someone is writing some, you know, obviously misogynistic text, and then we take that to task.
Oh, like, could we do that?
I think we can.
Yeah. How come we can't David Gilmore, is what I'm saying.
Yes, we can.
Yeah.
Guess we can.
He can't.
Yeah.
Etc. Other words that relate to the title of this podcast. Okay, that was... You guys, I really liked hearing about feuds. I hope some juicy stuff happens.
Juicy stuff soon. Will happen. You don't have to hope.
It's going to happen.
Before we record our next podcast.
It'll happen.
It'll get really meta when our...
When our podcast becomes a feud.
Yeah.
Feud.
Feudcast.
If we could just somehow create a feud family cast. Feud episode made up of all of the poets who always get in fights. Like, that would be amazing.
They'd never agree to it.
It would be great if we could do it where each publisher maybe had a team and they were all competing.
Ooh.
like as their own family, quote unquote.
I like it.
Yeah. Who would basically host what that? We're all talking about is more game shows.
Yeah.
I would host, obviously.
Obviously.
Take that, Steve Harvey. Just get out. Steve Harvey's done. We have one more quick segment. It's called What's George Bowring Doing? What's George Bowring doing? So what we're going to do is take a look at his Facebook
excellent
page.
Excellent.
And see what's up with him. From my last remembrance, he was talking about his one true love, Hello Kitty.
What?
He really likes Hello Kitty.
He does.
I don't know if we're supposed to be sharing that. But he has like he actually has like a Hello Kitty blanket that showed up in a photo. I mean, this is probably TMI, but it's Facebook, so I'm counting it as public. But he was holding another writer's baby. But he and there was a blanket that was Hello Kitty, and then somebody had said, "Oh, nice Hello Kitty blanket," and then they were corrected, and they said, "That's not the baby's. That's actually George Bowring's," and it was confirmed that it was George Bowring's.
Who was it confirmed by?
I can't say. I can't delve too much into my Facebook friendships, or else I'll start losing all of them.
That's true. He does love you. I'm sure. I'm sure of it.
So it looks like George Bowring is currently in Texas.
Okay.
Don't mess with Texas.
He's updated. If you look hard, you can find something nice in Texas. This is San Antonio. And
is the real quote, don't mess with George Bowring? Because I feel like it is.
That was the hashtag. Oh, but don't touch my butt. There's also a nice Batman cake.
Oh, that's great.
Not on George Bowring. No.
That's awesome.
So that's where George Bowring is right now.
Wonderful.
That's what George Bowring's doing. Ta-da! All right, Nikki.
Yay.
We're going to close up this podcast, but before we do, as our guest on Can't Lit, we need to ask you, what can't you with
what can't
right
you?
Now? What can't you?
Oh.
You just can't.
I can't live in Calgary.
No!
Much
burn.
Longer.
Ouch.
I'm sorry.
Okay, well, we'll get our team of experts together. Yeah, we'll talk to the mayor.
The Calgary mayor will talk to us on Twitter.
Don't tweet him.
Are we
don't tweet
the Fred Armisen and Carrie Brownstein of Vancouver where we're friends with the mayor, like on Portlandia, where they're friends with the mayor, and we just go
you
up
should
and
be.
Just like, hey, he also rides a bike all the time and sits on a yoga ball in his office.
I don't think we can give up being the Donnie and Marie of Canlit.
You're right. We have to remain the Donnie and Marie of Canlit.
An oddly asexual sexual couple.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
Perfect.
Okay, Calgary. Nikki, where can people find you on the internet?
At Nikki Reimer on the Twitter.
Do you want to spell your name?
NIKKIREIM as in mother ER.
What about the Tumblr? Do you tumble?
I like to keep that on the DL.
Okay, don't talk about it.
Don't
guys,
don't tumble me.
No one has tumble.
Don't
tumble for Nikki Reimer. Yep. Don't do it.
Yep. There is a blog. It is reimerwritesblog.com.
Is it Blogspot?
It's WordPress.
It's WordPress. Yeah. Reimerwrites.
Maybe just hit up Google.com.
Just Nikki Google. Reimer. You know, I'm all over.
You know
just,
how to find
you'll
her.
You'll find me.
You'll see her beautiful face and her
I'll
charming
find
glasses.
You. It'll be... A bit uncomfortable.
Do you have anything coming up in the near future, any events that we should know about?
I am reading in Prince George in June.
Oh.
Saturday, possibly the 10th, if
okay.
that is indeed the right date.
I think there's a 7th.
That might be it.
Okay.
Yeah, Saturday. It's the Casa Tet Festival. It's
excellent.
In conjunction with that.
Yep. Stellar.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Nick is nice. Going to be in Prince George. PG. Daniel, what about you? Do you have anything that you want to talk about?
No, as always, just if you have some poems for the upcoming issue of Poetry's Dead, it's the future issue.
The
I will
future.
Be
the future.
The future.
I want
future.
Only Back to the Future themed poems. DeLoreans. Hashtag don't touch my butt.
Please, please, somebody that's not me write some Doc Marty fan fiction poems.
I
just
that.
Please.
Yes,
yeah. Thank you. Nikki's
okay.
Volunteered, but that doesn't mean the rest of you should stop. Just please,
yes.
I want to read all of it. Thank you.
The deadline's August 1st. Check it out at poetryisdead.ca. You can also subscribe and get Dina's humor issue that is out now.
Humor!
It's out now. It's funny, but also weird.
It is super weird.
Yeah, totally.
Totes.
Great. Buy my book. Hashtag buy my book.
Hashtag buy our books.
Buy all our books.
All of our books. All of.
So you can follow Cantlit at Cantlit on Twitter. And you can email us if you have questions, or maybe you want to be a guest, or maybe you just
want to start a feud.
If you want to start a feud, email us at
cantlit at poetryisdead.ca. And if you have complaints, it's at gofuckyourself at nothanks.com.
Bam.
At don'ttouchmybutt.ca. So.
And if you want to check us out on our website, it's cantlit.ca.
Yeah, cantlit.ca. Go there. These podcasts. And pictures of Daniel and I being fucking super cute. There might be a picture of Nikki.
Also being super cute.
Everyone's going to be cute. Okay, I guess thanks for caring about literature and stuff.
We hope you have a great day.
That's been Cantlit. Thank you.